Good afternoon. It's 12:15. 65 degrees in Wenatchee Town. This is The Agenda once again in our palatial radio studios. We're looking out actually a sunny, sort of warm day. And today, we're going in a little different direction. Or as they say in radio, we're going in a slightly different direction. That's what they always tell you the day they fire you. A slightly different direction? Anyway, consider this. If music hath the power to soothe the savage beast within all of us, why then don't we medicate or self-medicate our savage nature with a proven antidote, namely music? Why? Well, you say, what kind of music's going to work? What's best for soothing your savage beast, your personal savage beast? The answer to that question is rather zen. I said music was the answer. Now the answer to the answer is music is the answer, always and anyway. Anything? Yeah, try it. The Rolling Stones? Of course. What do you have, rocker or a ballad? Dolly Parton? Well, if she's still alive, you can, well, even if she's not, play her hits. If your ears are connected to your brain, go for it. The Insane Clown Posse? Oh, yeah, that's been known to work. James Taylor? I don't see why not. And you've always thought that Western civilization ground to a halt when Anne Murray stopped warbling, so you could try some of that. What about Bill Haley and the Comets? Well, he does have that annoying spit curl, but if you must, we'll see you later, alligator. Or what about the Chicago Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Ricardo Muti? Well, there's enough dudes in that supergroup to quell most savages. Try it on yours. Try it, yes. Try Pachelbel's Canon. Go ahead. What about Brian Eno? Oh, yeah. He doesn't wear eyeliner like he used to early in his career, but you can't miss him. Eno will change your mood. In fact, whatever your mood, sinister or divine, you can change your mindset with a tune from anyone. And this method works. I've tried Pink Floyd, Spike Jonze and his City Slickers, Tiny Tim, The Crazy World of Arthur Brown, Screaming Jay Hawkins, The Troggs, Mott the Hoople, The Chipmunks, Dr. Teeth and his Electric Mayhem, Nipsey Hussle, and of course, Foghat. I was going to mention Nickelback, but you were going to say that too, so I didn't. Now, we begin our fun day in the Agenda Studios with our first entertainer, someone I work with every day and see every day, but I've never heard her sing, so that has to be put right. So, today, music and poetry, songs and prose, and we begin with Elaine Eagle and Ramiro Espinosa, her guitarist, who are going to entertain us today. Elaine works here in KPQ. And I've never heard you sing, unless you sing quietly at your desk. I've never heard you warble, have I?
I definitely do sing at my desk because I get the radio all day long, which is kind of nice.
And you were, I guess, more of a singer than you were a receptionist and an aide-de-camp to all things KPQ.
Absolutely.
And you played around town. Is this your hometown?
It is, yep.
So when did you start singing?
Probably about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. I'm almost 21, so at about 16 is when I started really trying to perform and get out with my music.
And before that, you didn't even know if you had a voice?
Yeah. I always liked to sing, but I was a piano player. So I would perform it with my piano, and that's when I started to sing was like 16, 17.
Jerry Lee Lewis was a piano player. Still is, actually. He manages, he kicks his bench every day. It's not right away.
That.
He does a couple songs, then he kicks the bench when it's time to do Great Balls of Fire. Well, I don't want to waste your time with my gabbing, so I'm going to let you sing. This is Elaine Eagle, and it's also Ramiro Espinosa on guitar. And the song is?
This song is called Purple Ink. This is one of our original songs, and this is a song that I wrote for my best friend who's a writer, and she always writes with purple pens.
Have you recorded it?
We have a demo recording on our website.
Beautiful. Well, we'll talk about that right after this.
Okay, great.
You're on.
She's sugar and spice, and hell, she's so nice. She's twice the person I am. She cusses a little, but she's so little that it's cute whenever she's mad. Her world fills with glory as she tells her story, painted with purple ink. Her life's full of wonder, but when she goes under, she prays and then she takes a drink, but only one. Cause Cause she's strong as can be, but she's tender, and she cares way too much about me. When I lost myself, she came running, and she rescued me. Her daddy's daughter, and nothing can stop her. She knows what's right and what's wrong. She knows she can't sing, but that don't mean a thing. So she turns it up and sings along, nice and loud. Oh. Cause she's strong as can be, but she's tender. She cares way too much about me. When I lost myself, she came running, she rescued me. You're the heart to my beat, the dance in my feet, and I know I don't say it enough, but thank you for living your best life and giving me courage to learn how to love. Cause she's strong as can be, but she's tender, and she cares way too much about me. When I lost myself, she came running, she rescued me.
This is The Agenda, News Radio 560 KPQ. We're enjoying ourselves in a bit of a coffee house today with poetry, prose, and you're listening to the music of Elaine Eagle and Ramiro Espinosa. He's on guitar, she's on voice. So did your friend like it when you wrote a song about her? Or was it just, you got some nerve? This is very personal.
Oh, she loved it. Yeah, we're really sappy. We always write each other letters and stuff like that. So she was all over it. She liked it a lot.
So you said you have some of your music on your website. You want to give the address so people can listen or download or whatever?
Yeah, for sure. So we call ourselves End of the Line. So our webpage is endoftheline, all one word, .online. And that's our website. We also have a brand new Facebook page. So End of the Line, new Facebook page.
Join up and be friendly.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I like that first one. Your voice sounds wonderful on the radio.
Thank you so much.
Have another shot.
Okay.
Of a song, that is.
Awesome. So the next song that we're going to play is one that we wrote together. And it's kind of a weird one. We can admit it's sort of strange.
So does someone do the lyrics, someone do the music, or do you just hashtag it?
We kind of both. Yeah, there's some arguing, but it's
anyway,
all good.
The song's finished one way or the other, right?
Exactly. So we were inspired by, the Odyssey, Homer's Odyssey. And so this song is kind of about a storm and it's called Lotus. So we hope you enjoy it. Go on, leave me, I'm fine, believe me, I don't want to go. No, you don't understand, this is the promised land, I'm already home. Now under clouds of gray, they're pulling anchors away. Looks like they finally left. Nowhere to hide as the tide crashes around me. It feels like I'm sinking, or is that just the waves? Oh, now under clouds of gray, I am wasting away. Looks like they finally left me. free last breath leaves me. Wonder if they made it home.
The voice of Elaine Eagle, the guitar of Ramiro Espinosa, and the radio station is 560 KPQ News Radio, where we're having a different agenda today because I've talked to enough politicians and city officials in my life. I know what they're going to say in advance. So next time we meet, we'll have a fresh palette for all those topics that are considered serious. There you go. But today is not serious. It's just too beautiful outside. So we're celebrating spring in our coffeehouse way with a few tunes. And Elaine Eagle, an employee here at Cherry Creek Media, is doing the singing because we've been meaning to do this for a while, and this is the time. Absolutely. Good timing.
Absolutely.
By the way, when you write a song together, do you know that you're going to write a song? Do you sit down and that's your intent? Let's write.
Sometimes, yeah. We have normally like 3 rehearsals a week, and sometimes we'll just set one of those aside and say, today is just a writing day.
Time for a new tune.
Yeah, which is nice to kind of carve that time out specifically for writing.
So you have scheduled rehearsals every week?
Mm-hmm.
That's really the way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, you'll come up with an excuse why you can't.
That's right.
I'm
yep.
hungry. I'm sleepy. I'm tired. I'm anxious.
Yeah,
everything,
absolutely.
Right? All right, let's hear another tune from Elaine Eagle and Ramiro Espinosa. We just have enough time to do that.
Okay,
and then
perfect.
Our next guest is going to be C.G. Dolan. As we get to the spoken word, poetry or prose, whatever he chooses, he's got the freedom to figure it out, as Elaine and Ramiro do with this next tune.
Okay, so this is a song that I wrote. I wrote the words and I wrote the chords and everything, but we have really kind of taken it and made it our own and arranged it together. So this is a song called Mind Reader. Hope you like it. See that look deep in your eyes, makes me scared, so I ask why. You turn to me and you just smile. You say nothing. Say nothing. Yeah, I know it's complicated. It's so much worse if you never say it. Just let it out and let me in. Let me in. 'Cause I ain't no mind reader. Make everything so unclear. And I know that I love you, but I get so tired of not knowing what's going on inside your mind, dear, my dear. Oh. It seems to me you've locked a door, but I don't know just what it's for. Is it to keep me out? To keep you in. I know you're scared to lose someone again, but darling, that won't happen again. But I ain't no mind reader. Make everything so unclear. And I know that I love you, but I get so tired of not knowing what's going on inside your mind, dear, my dear. And it's not that I think that you're trying to hide, but I just wanna see that beautiful mind. And I ain't no mind reader. Make everything so unclear. And I know that I love you, but I get so tired of not knowing what's going on inside your mind, dear, my dear. But I ain't no mind reader, mind reader. Make everything so unclear. Clear, unclear, oh, oh, oh. And I know that I love you, but I get so tired of not knowing what's going on inside your mind, dear. my dear. Just let it out and let me in. Just let it out and let me in. Just let it out, let it out, let it out and let me in. And let me in.
News Radio 560 KPQ is 1230. You've been listening to the music of Elaine Eagle and Romeo Espinoza on the guitar. Thanks for coming in today, guys.
Thank
I appreciate
so
it so much. We'll do this again sometime.
Absolutely.
We'll have different music and different artists come by just to break up the monotony of having a daily radio show. We should have fun, too. News Radio 560 KPQ will be back with the works of C.G. Dolan right after this.
You're listening to the...
621302.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's 1234, 1234. I love this time of day. 1234, 65 degrees outside. Here in our palatial radio studios, I'm Michael Knight with The Agenda and our second guest on Entertainment Day or Coffee House Day or whatever you want to call it. It's too sunny outside for it to be a coffee house, so this is more like entertainment on the deck. That's more like it. Is C.G. Dolan, D-A-H-L-I-N, Dolan. He's a writer that I became associated with when you dropped off your work at the old bookshop, and Anna Orway said, oh, this guy's this guy's that, and we're going to use him on the Book of the Week. So welcome to actually see you in person. I've seen your name in print. I guess that's the idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
For a writer.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you get started? When did you start putting pen to paper?
This would have happened sometime around 2013, and this was when I started becoming more serious. I had always been a writer, but I'd never worked on cultivating.
You were a clever person with a
yeah,
word or two.
Yeah, I was very wordy.
But you hadn't written anything of length?
No, and I was a long time of experimentation of me trying to find what was my form. And I tried writing novels, and I tried everybody else's kind of ideas for a while until I kind of honed in on what my own style is, and I've been working on that ever since.
It's helpful. I wrote a screenplay once that got rewritten three times. When every time somebody gave me an idea, I would rewrite it, and finally I got to the end of it, and I said, I hate this project. Where's something in it for me? And I just stopped that idea entirely. But I still have everybody else's idea all written out, 70 pages, you know?
Staying true to inspiration is a lifelong practice.
My problem is, because I have to write something every day, is if I don't know what I'm going to write about, I can't begin. And as soon as I know what I'm going to write about, today it was music has the power to soothe the savage beast. Well, that's all I needed. I have a theme. Now I can write. But if I sit down and just have a blank piece of paper in front of me with no idea, it'll stay that way for a while.
Yeah, but
it helps to know.
Calm a little bit, and then you just put something down, just random.
Have you ever done the Jack Kerouac form of just write the first thing that comes to your mind,
exactly.
But actually you have to write down what it is?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you just go from there.
That's freeing.
Yes.
And then you know there's no such thing as writer's block. That's just a rumor.
No, you can write about the fact that you have writer's block.
There you go. Started. So you've been published, and you've published yourself.
I've published myself, and I've published others. Something else that I'm here to promote, not quite, but just residually, is The Whispers of Wenatchee, just to get that name out there. It's a publication that came out last year with 34 different writers, poetry, and short stories. This is going to come back out and is going to be open to submission sometime this summer. So just remember the name Whispers of Wenatchee. If I'm going to jump ahead, the show that I'm doing at Radar Station on Friday.
This Friday night?
Is this Friday night at Radar Station. Doors open at 7. The performance starts at 7:30. $10 tickets. All of this goes towards funding the Whispers of Wenatchee project for this next summer.
Because you actually print up hard copies, or is it online, or how do you do it?
I collect the submissions, and I work it until the point where it actually is a physical book, and then it's published.
That's the hard part. Who's the editor, by the way?
I have been in cahoots with a number of others, mostly translators, because there's also Spanish submissions. So I work with kind of a ragtag team of others to edit, but I'm going to be the guy that is doing the graphic work, the design work, the cover, the write-ups, this sort of stuff.
And taste. You have to exercise your taste.
Curation is what I call it.
That's a better word for it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's hear something from you, please.
Okay, so this is brand spanking new, exclusive for those on the radio waves right now. It's called Dusty Man. He's always dusty, and there's this light muskiness in the thick plaid coat that he always wears, rain or shine. And he seems so sour, and you usually only spot him at ungodly hours, arriving to drink at only the last call. His uncle made him swear that he'd only have hard carbon steel knives. His pockets always loaded with them. He tidies up the strands that pop out of his ragged veneer. He looks like he came from somewhere dry and desolate. Country fires wash over his eyes like dust in the wind. Simple, plain, and brutish, it would seem to be this way. But there's a smile that cracks through upon a rare celestial arrangement. Multi-frequency convergences that wiggle through his bedrock flesh. The miraculous alignment that displays if you're watching with an honest eye. The humility, the authenticity, the childishness of that smile could melt any ice-cold hussy. I think he got hurt a long time ago and felt covering himself with dirt and chew spit was the best form of camouflage that it would ever actually do the trick. He learned to keep up appearances perfectly with the wormy mongrels that feed off of hatred and divisiveness. And you should hear me when I say that not all those wolves are wolves, and not all those sheep are sheep, and Dusty Man is clean somewhere underneath piles of filth.
An ice-cold hussy. That's going to stay with me for a while. But you, what you liked about him was, despite the way he looked, if that's a real person you saw, that he was authentic.
Yes, hidden deep.
And that makes it okay, doesn't it? He's not putting on a show. He's not mentally out of it. He's not this way by some default. He chose it, and he rides well with it.
This is what he has to be in this world. Yeah.
To suit himself.
To suit the circumstances and to be as true to himself as possible.
Now, would you call that poetry?
That's funny. I get called a poet by association. So I don't necessarily think a lot of the work that I do has a clean classification for it.
It's just stuff.
It gets you to think, it gets you to feel, however you want to call that. Sometimes it's more philosophical. Sometimes it's just wordy for wordy's sake. And sometimes I just want to be absurd. And not all of that just fits the convention of what people understand poetry to be. And I understand it to be more of a grab bag than anything. It's
sure.
Kind of for the outliers, you know, for the for anything that doesn't fit.
Well, poetry's always had an audience. It's always had specific publishers that do nothing but poetry. It's always had its own section in the bookstore. But it's probably misunderstood in that it's not all Greek tragedies, it's not all Rimbaud, and it's not all anything. There's anything you can think of.
If you have something that is true to your inspiration, it should sound highly original, which means that it's not come pre-prepared to fit somewhere. And so that's kind of the retroactive problem of trying to stay true to what you want to write.
The challenge for the artist in the year 2019 is you have to be creative, in your own way, whatever you've chosen, or whatever has chosen you. And you also have to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You have to get your stuff out there.
Take that business side of it.
It's
very
true.
Curmudgeonly.
Show business.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the bitter pill. And also the big thing of simply keeping with it.
Yeah.
That's the biggest one, because a lot of people have amazing talent, but they just don't feed it. And that's crucial.
I have a couple quotes to give you. I asked Tom Robbins if what it takes to be a writer. And you say, well, did you write all day? No. Did you write today at all? Nope. You're not a writer. Did you? Yes, he said. Yes, I did. I'm a writer. And so as a bricklayer must lay bricks, so a writer must write, not just talk about it. Although it's convenient to talk about it at cocktail parties.
It gives you a little significance. Yeah. It was told to me, oh, you want to be a writer? You should write. You know, just that other way around. Yeah.
That's right. Here's an idea. You take it and run with it. No one's ever written about.
You need to make a lot of garbage before you make something good. And that's the big one.
If you're willing to throw away your own work, that's okay. But not like Franz Kafka, who decided when he was near death that all he wanted his best friend Max Brod to do was destroy his entire works. And he promised him he'd do it, otherwise I don't think he would have died in peace.
I just see the perfectionism at that, you know,
yeah.
Like it's not good enough.
It's not good enough. And plus, I can't bear knowing that some stranger has read my private thoughts.
Fair, yeah. Yeah. I do reflect on that often, too, yeah.
Well, read something else for us, please. By the way, our guest is C.G. Dahlin. His books are available around town and online. We'll tell you how to do that in a minute.
Yes. Okay. So this is me showing off myself as a little bit more dark. It's a night at the ball. I'm attending a party, the high-class variety, and we're all Victorian-era folks dressed stiffly, women contorted, stitched together and plastered on to keep the dream alive. I've come with a fair maiden. Her grace would flatter any who catch eyes of her. I turn around for just a second, taking in the luminance of the ballroom, only to turn back and see that my fair maiden has turned into a bloodthirsty serpent. All whilst maintaining her finely contorted makeup and most eloquent dress. I look around to pander to the crowd's reaction, but they're not bothered because, ah, bollocks, how did I not see? They're all slithering serpents, too, waggling their gushy tongues through the air, festering around the lamps. Surely they'll see me, for I am a strange porcelain creature in a hall made for beasts. How saturnine, how droll. I must be gone at once, lest they catch eye of my ungraceful image. I take to the corridors, trying to slither through the shadows as to avoid their snarls. The sound of their doings is grotesque, to say the least. What an unusual occasion. I see the clearing, the door, just right down the hall, but the hall keeps stretching, and my legs have seemed to turn to putty, and the door, the sweet embrace of the door, I reach towards it despairingly, but it's too late, because I've melted into the floor. And the serpents lick up what remains of me.
Well, it's a party for reptiles. Apparently you were not invited. Or if you were, it was for that reason. Is that from a dream?
Yes.
Or a daydream or a night dream?
Again, yeah, dream. So I write it down.
Oh, yeah.
Call it what? Call it short story. Call it poetry. Call it symbolic. I think it's very symbolic. Right?
Give snakes a very bad name, you know that. Especially ones that dress up in white coats and tails and go to parties.
Very powerful animal.
Yeah.
A force of both good and evil, let's be fair.
It's the only time that I've heard something about snakes that I really liked was Carlos Castaneda writing in about his Don Juan character, said that snakes were there to whisper in your ear and give you secrets.
Mm.
But you mustn't kill them. You have to wait quietly for them to impart a secret. They'll tell you when. I don't know how that's how that's attained or how he came to that conclusion.
There's a lot of historical reference to snakes, and there's
nobody says that about spiders. However, the spiders
they're
have
not
a secret.
Wise.
That,
they're just creepy.
They're pretty creepy. I would much rather have to tangle with a snake than a spider.
Well, both of them, I think, inspire a feeling of like being very alien because one's got all those legs and the other one is like a big old fleshy sock that's wiggling itself on the ground.
And although they're small, even the largest snake compared to a man is pretty small. Even the one that they found in Florida that was 17 feet long. Certainly you'd be able to get away from that, but that's not the way we look at it. It's just like we overreact like the ceiling's coming in.
Yeah, it's amazing to see how you react.
Do you ever see or think you saw a spider right here by your face and you just slap yourself in the face? It's involuntary.
Something very ancestral there, yeah.
How do we see your works online, CG?
I see, and that's the thing. You have to find me. I'm playing the classic. Here's where I play the poet card. Is I keep my performances pretty much in person.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have very. I don't really want to spread my efforts too much on the online sphere at this time.
Because it's a giveaway.
I want to focus on my craft mostly, and I want to appear when it's right. If you're ever going to see poets perform in any capacity in this valley, then it's likely that you'll see me slide through the door. I'm not hard to find. Also, you know, I do the poetry group at Yale Bookshop every Monday.
What time?
This is going to be at 6 o'clock, and this is a small group. We call it Catharsis Club, because it's mostly just a place where writers of every proportion, even songwriters, can come and share what they wouldn't normally feel comfortable sharing with a big crowd, necessarily.
It's like a writer's group.
Uh-huh. But it kind of has this more communal feel. There's no authority practiced in this. There's no stage, you know? So that's easy to find me. The open mics at the radar station, I'm practically there every time I can be. Thursday nights.
Every Thursday night
at sign-ups at 7, performances start at 8. And that's a great way. You should always, like, advertise that. It's already big, but it's a great way to see the kind of inner creativity of the Valley.
Is there a limitation on time?
Not necessarily. It's flexible depending on how many people sign up.
Right.
Yeah. But you'll see me. They've coined me last week. The host said the poet laureate of the radar station's open mic.
So radar station's poet laureate.
Yeah,
great. And he can fix robots if yours happens to break.
Yeah. The motherboard.
C.G. Zolland is our guest. We'll be back and hear more from him right after this.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. Come.
It's 12:54 in the afternoon. This is The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. I'm going to get out of the way and let C.G. Dolan have the last minutes because we're almost out of show. C.G., the stage is yours.
This last one is called As It Was Ordained. Voices from the ether spoke to me last night. They told me to put mayonnaise in an avocado and to lob that slop over my fence just far enough to reach my neighbor's neighbor's backyard. I asked it, what do I do next? And it told me that the answer is obvious. I need to go to City Hall and sit in the courtyard and contemplate on the decaying of all things and how birth necessitates death. And that I did. I am a good patron of the voices. I thought as I was supposed to and did as I was instructed. I am as I should be, and I have not wavered from the right path. And as I sat doing my damnedest to think on what I was to think on, I was told to go to the wishing well and to bathe in the waters. And I jumped in. I felt a bliss wash over me. I started to feel a sort of comfort, a sort of nurturing that left me yearning for more, because the comfort, the bliss, it wasn't quite enough. And the waters, they were clean, but they weren't clean enough. And I paced back and forth as the voices ordained and was propelled to go back to my abode. As I approached, I saw a fat squirrel laying in complete bliss underneath the late morning rays.
He got that avocado, didn't he? Yes, he did. C.G. Dolan, tell us one more time about the Friday night poetry reading, please.
It's called
Unhinged. Anything you have coming up.
Yes, it's called Unhinged. This Friday night, 7:30 is the beginning of the show, $10 tickets. Again, proceeds go to a writing project for multiple writers in the Valley.
And that's at the radar station.
This is at the radar station. This is explicitly showing... Well, this is exclusively showing my more explicit material. So the marketing of it is that it is very adult and it is more mature. So
if you're an adult, ask yourself, am I very adult? And then if you are, you can go to the show.
The idea is to be provocative. So the whole show is going to be very provocative.
I feel provoked already. We'll see you then. Thanks, CG, for coming in. Gotta go.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. And